This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonslow, live from pre-ASTA, pre-ASTA, to talk about being a trainer and attending training and going to training expos with a couple of industry nobodies. One of them, the biggest nobody, Brandon Steckler.
You finally got it right.
And the other, who's a little bit better well-known.
Just less hair.
Mr. Bob Leonard. But before we get rolling here, I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors, Napa Auto Tech Training and Pico Technology.
Napa Auto Tech's team of ASC Master Certified Instructors are conducting over 1,200 classes covering 28 automotive topics. To see a selection, go to NapaAutoTech.com for more details. Tired of guesswork in your auto diagnostics? Need to pinpoint faults quickly and accurately? PicoScope will turn your PC into a powerful diagnostic tool. See live waveforms from sensors, injectors, and ignition systems. See the problem? Solve it faster. Visit PicoAuto.com. That's PicoAuto.com.
All right. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being here before ASTA got going.
Had to get up early.
Well, it turns out they won't let me be here during the show, so we had to sneak in and do this.
I was bored anyway.
So right.
I mean, that's reasonable.
They heard we're going to be talking about training and training expos and trainers and maybe not like specific trainers except Brandon, but
I'm not taking his class tomorrow anyway. So,
I mean, he's the only real trainer here in the booth.
Not true. Bob is now a trainer for
Mobility Works.
Mobility Works.
Really?
Yeah.
So within the company?
Yeah.
So Bob works for a company named Mobility Works, and it's just a twist on words because they work on mobility. But yeah. No, it's really, they work on the, are we allowed to call them handicap vans?
No, we call them, they're vehicles that have been modified for the physically disabled.
That's a lot longer than just
hand. I know. And when you got to type it, and I type with, you know, one finger.
What's the acronym?
No, I'm not going there. I grew up in the community. No, Bob doesn't walk that line ever.
That's where I struggle. Remember I talked to you about that? I said, what do we call it? Like, what's the PC word for...
Even Dave Hobbs, who we all know, he did recorded training and he was using the wrong terminology. I called him up and said, Dave, you can't record that. It wasn't bad. It was just old. You need them. It is a lot of letters. I agree.
It identifies that. So,
yes.
Right.
Well, now we know what Bob does. What do you do, Brandon?
I do my best to pass off information about what not to do. God knows I've broken enough stuff in the last 30 friggin' years. Don't do what I do.
What banner do you apply under for that?
Whichever one they'll let me put up. I do a lot. I do too much, and that's part of my problem. I'm just spread really thin. I love it. It's very rewarding, but I serve as the Tech Editor Motor Age Magazine. I work closely with CarQuest Technical Institute as an instructor. Same with Worldpac. I run my own diagnostic and training business, Steckler Automotive Tech Services. Across the world, I'm fortunate enough to have been invited on multiple continents, but a new venture coming up, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more later on. But lots of littles, and it adds up to be a bit too much, so I'm trying to laser focus a bit more. Find a wildly important goal and go for it, you know?
Right on. Like relocating homes. Well, I'll bring that up.
Nah. Yeah, maybe in the future.
Again?
I said we're not going there yet, Bob.
Okay, sorry. You'll let me know when. I didn't read that script. Sorry.
Well, the reason we're here, Matt's going to try to reel this in. Wrong guy. But Brandon and Bob individually, unless they're talking behind the scenes with each other, reached out to me talking about training both as an attendee and then also as a trainer and kind of the, I don't know, about trials and tribulations, maybe from the presenter side of things. And then also as an attendee, just the actual experience of going to some of these bigger events. I don't know. You guys can fight over who gets to go first, but.
Okay. I knew I was waiting. Look, I've been attending it, training for years, and I'll say well over the 90%. It's great. I come home and I'm recharged. I refer to is how much Tylenol did I have to take?
Dude, you can't say Tylenol.
I know, but I'm sorry. I know. Shoot. How much, whatever.
Trump's coming after us.
Oh, geez, stop. I can't even politically about training. Thanks, man.
I am kidding.
Sure. But the idea is, I think 90, 95% is great. But I've seen some classes, I had trouble staying there. And when I turned around, okay, so obviously I've been to a few rodeos.
Right.
I turn around and see these young guys. They experience this. And it's hard enough to get them to come here. Even if the company pays, they're not coming back. Okay? Seriously, they're just not going to return. How can we keep encouraging technicians to go to training if they get that one bad event? And I experienced it, the last major event. I walked out, not a happy camper. Matter of fact, I kept it to myself and didn't talk to him for a couple of weeks. I had calmed down about it before I wanted to settle and talk evenly about it.
Yeah.
And then I got to thinking, Brandon is the one who's been training a lot more than me and you. But how does any of the trainers here get to that point where they become a trainer? Some of them are coming from secondary schools or, you know, other things.
It's like how they became an auto mechanic. They just one day were an auto mechanic.
In a way, but I think
just kidding.
They could have a wealth of knowledge and experience. They may not know how to present.
Right. That's that dichotomy, right?
Yeah.
Where
exactly. Not everybody can stand in front of a bunch of people and spew and just talk and be comfortable. You know, when I go with these classes, we're all peers. The guy up front, we're all the same. He just happens to know something I want.
Yep.
But that person has to be solid about what they're doing or it's a problem.
It's no joke that we kind of hold instructors or presenters like Thornton, John Thornton, in such high regard because he hits that rare balance between he can go. Like, you can put him in front of a broken car and he will figure it out. And, oh, by the way, he can get in front of, or really put together a class or put together a presentation and then get up in front of people and present it in a way that's informative, entertaining, and not that he's keeping you all in stitches, but he keeps you engaged. Yeah. He's kind of the gold standard we have.
Yeah.
And then whoever, we could just start name dropping and that would defeat the point. Now you're getting people hired because they can get up there and present. They maybe can't necessarily go when it comes to diagnosing cars or working on cars, but they can get up there in front of a group of people, be it 15 or, you know, 500, and they can present and be well-spoken and all that, keep you engaged, stuff like that.
And the other side of it is where the material's coming from.
Right.
Brandon writes his own. For my company, there is no material. So yeah, I have to write my own.
Yep.
Fine. But some of the material, I'm not quite sure who wrote this stuff. Okay. It's not that it's like literally bad. It's just like, if we're talking about case studies in the bay with young guys, basically this course description, first one should not be about Pico math channel and how to find out, you know, which cylinders have a mechanical problem. And at the end of this 20-minute thing, I just kind of raised my hand, which I do. And I was like, couldn't we done like current relative compression. You know what the answer was? Oh, yeah, that's what I would have done. You should have segued fast. Okay, or brought that up. 10 minutes versus pulling out several thousand dollars worth of equipment? Now, there's an issue here. And it wasn't about selling a Pico. It wasn't written that way. It was just, they went. That's where they went. Now, I went to other classes, and the Pico was part of it. But guess what? It belonged in there. I get it. I'm kind of wondering about that. Like, it didn't make sense. And this guy was a self-admitted shop owner. I don't know where he got his background to be up front.
Yeah, and I'm wondering too, when you jump into stuff like that, like you brought up Pico math channels, if you're starting a class out like that, are you shooting for a wow factor? And is it the wow factor of what's out there for test capability? Not just Pico, just, you know, we could line up different scopes or different pieces of test equipment that have different features to show off. But was that what they were going for, is the wow factor? Or was it, and I don't mean this condescendingly, kind of an ego thing where you are looking for the feedback from the crowd or whatever, the attendees of, oh, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about.
Maybe, but he was working from somebody else's book.
Wow.
This was a pre-written book.
Yeah.
The things that followed it weren't that level. Yeah. Like he said, you could have done current ramping, and we all know in this room, that'd have been over fast. You know, okay, it's mechanical. Do you want to spend big money to start tearing the motor apart? Here we go. You know that these two cylinders on Subaru are much different than those two. Okay. It was that cut and dry. I started to think about other classes. I'm like, well, wait a minute. If this gets let go, that's what bothers me. I knew someone in that class that had left our company to go work for Braun, major manufacturer. He was a tech now.
Yeah.
And as I got up at the break, he made a face and I know what he meant. That's all he did. He made the face like, I'm out of here. And I'm like, no, come here. You can't take this away as what happens. You have to blow it off. You have to say, okay, 1 out of 10, that happens. But do the presenters, where are they going to get educated? Like, and we were talking, I said, my wife's been a teacher in Philadelphia for 22 years. There's a method to the madness, you know?
Yeah.
She's had the right lesson plans all her career.
Let's hold that thought from the angle of the attendee and the questioning either the how the instructor got to be the instructor or the decisions made with content and go to the angle from a presenter who's now put together, I mean, it's over a decade now, right?
Just about, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually it is.
Of training at big events as well as more, what do you call that, boutique? Where it's
intimate.
Yeah, more intimate. One going into a shop and presenting to members of the shop and maybe a couple of the surrounding shops if they would open it up, but really focus on a shop. Brandon, when you start thinking about that from the perspective of being an instructor, not maybe not just an instructor, right? Kind of like Bob alluded to, in some cases at least, you're putting together the entire presentation yourself. So you're developing your own case studies or have a network of people that you go to for some, but then you get the stories and you have one-on-one interactions with them for some of it, or maybe some of it, maybe not. Just that you're very much hands-on in the development of the content, and then you're going and presenting it.
Absolutely.
So
before I forget, I want to start off with a public apology to my good buddy, Ryan Payne from Garage Gurus. I had made a comment on Facebook, which we'll get into here. And he took offense to it. Not offense. He took like I was talking towards him. He was hurt by it. So let me explain that when we get to there.
It's all right. I have that happen to me all the time.
No kidding. No, but to your point, Matt, I was fortunate enough early in my career as an instructor to work tightly with CarQuest Technical Institute as one of their instructors. And they have a phenomenal program that initiates with something actually called boot camp. And they teach you how to present. It's not so much a school as it is they point out your habits. You know, people hands in pockets, turning their back, rushing, not giving the audience a chance to speak.
Fidgeting, never looking out at the crowd, always just looking at the screen, reading slides.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So I'll say I had a leg up on most young instructors coming into the training end of industry. I was lucky. But I also recognized that as I started to put things together as an instructor, content, I realize, what am I really sharing? I'm sharing my own experience. Like when I say this test works, it's not because I read it in a book, whoever developed the curriculum and told me it worked. I use it and I know it works. So when I put something together, I'm teaching from my own experience. It's difficult to teach someone else's classes if you didn't develop it, unless you're trained to do so. And that content is put together in a fashion where I can read it and it becomes mine. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's amongst a certain group of people, famous or infamous, my attempt at that. And is I am not that guy.
No.
To present someone else's material.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just start ripping holes in it.
It's tough.
As the presenter, I'm up there ripping holes in the material.
And now's where I enter stage left and apologize to Ryan. So if I can back up for a second to Bob's point, many people have come to some of these bigger shows. I'd say on my word. I promise you, you need to come to training. It's worth it. Now, what we got to remember is these guys shut down shop and some of these shops are making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a week or more. To shut down for a week, that's a $50,000 loss right there. Let's say you take five guys, pay that airfare. That's $5,000. Hotel. Well, I'm near $1,000 for 3 nights just down the street here. And then entrance fees and food. And these guys go into class and have an experience like Bob had or worse. The class turns out to be nothing like was described in the class bio and ends up being some kind of sales pitch. When I talk to that person, and I'm excited to hear because I know I'm going to get great feedback, they look down at their shoes and they're like, I can't believe I spent the money to be here. I'm not coming back. And worse, I look like a moron. Like I've encouraged them to give up some money, like I sucked it out of them. But when I questioned that person, I said, what happened to class? One guy admitted he was not prepared, like he had a rough night, if you know what I mean, and was not prepared to teach, which is absolutely despicable. Another guy actually said out loud, sorry, I'm not familiar with this content. I didn't write the class. And that's where I just lost it. If you recall, Bob, I remember this. And I can't remember. I'll paraphrase. But I basically said, if you are not preparing for these classes, you don't belong up there. I more than once put more than 40 hours into studying for a 4-hour class. Why? Because I did not create the content. The notes were there, 300 slides of information, almost a novel to sit down and read, over 40 hours worth of material. But I did it. Why? Because it's my responsibility as an instructor to stand up there and show people what works for me. Even if I didn't work on that car, the people that wrote that content put the content together in a fashion where I could make it my own. And anybody that watches me teach, even a CarQuest class, will see me point and say, I was working on this car. And many times I didn't have my hands on it, but I know it so well, I can almost tell you what the interior smelled like.
Right.
I said, if you're not studying up to 40 hours and getting prepared, shame on you. That's when Ryan was upset. Ryan does a fantastic job. He doesn't have to put 40 hours in a class. I wish I was that guy. I wish I didn't have to prep that hard because it would save me a lot of time. But it's my responsibility to do the best job I can, and that requires time and effort. And yeah, sometimes you got to give up your weekends. Sometimes you got to stay up not late at night. Sometimes you got to get up early in the morning and do it. But that's your responsibility. That's what we're here for.
Well, it might be kind of like the difference between what we would call a mechanic and now a mechanical specialist, or a technician and a technical specialist, in that you have the instructor, which just gets up there and talks, or the educator, who kind of takes it to a little, maybe a little or a lot further in that, the dedication to what they're trying to do up there and bring in their A game. It's more than just getting up there and talking. It's engaging. It's being involved in the either development, or once it's developed, learning the material to present it effectively.
Yeah. I was lucky. I had 10 years in a focused industry. I didn't have to look around or be fed material. And actually, I was creating the Mobility 101 more or less in my head, and what I wrote out and what I presented. And the people I was training were in the industry, this specific niche industry. I wasn't covering everything from the tire up. It was these things. I knew it was real limited, and that's it. Brandon has a much wider group that he has to kind of take in. So do all the trainers. I know that guys, some of the big training orders, they hand them a book and, oh, this is what you're doing next month. I've never rebuilt a transmission. Okay. But next month I'll teach it. Whatever it is, I've heard the example, but that's what you got to do. I was fortunate. I had a narrow.
NAPA Auto Tech training sessions are being conducted day and night in a town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in NAPA Auto Tech that will lead your team to a path to greatness. Auto Tech's entry-level Build-A-Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. Auto Tech's higher-level tech update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, the Auto Tech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary, safety topics. Well, it's here. AutoTech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC to DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with NAPA Auto Tech Training. Are you chasing elusive automotive problems? Pico technology empowers you to see what's really happening. Pinpoint faults in sensors, wiring, and components with unmatched accuracy. Picoscope oscilloscopes transform your diagnostic capabilities. Visit picoauto.com, that's PICOauto.com, and revolutionize your diagnostics today.
If you don't mind for two seconds, I want to touch on a point that you made about the fellow that got up in front of the class and pulled out these crazy tactics, which are valid in a certain situation, certainly not the easiest thing to perform. And why take it to that level when you don't have to? I do think a lot of it, because I felt it before, especially when I'm first up in a classroom. Do I need to prove myself? Like, do people need to see that I do know what I'm doing? So the urge early on to do something like that, you know, call it a show off move or whatever, call it a show off move. I don't know. I don't think that was the intent, like, to be.
No.
But it came off that way.
No. You know? No. He wasn't young and he wasn't first time.
Okay.
And he was backed by a major organization. And I won't do that next line.
Right.
Doesn't matter. I don't think they knowingly. Okay. I knowingly reached out to, I found the company, but whatever.
Yeah. It sounds like unwittingly not committing to his profession, right? And the reputation of, it's not just the reputation of the individual instructor anymore, right? When you represent a training entity, pick whichever one, right?
Just Napa Auto Tech. Walk through all the signs.
Yeah. Napa Auto Tech sponsors this. So if they're working for them.
Right.
And now they represent that, they're hurting the, not only their individual reputation as an instructor or educator, really. Now it's the entire Napa Auto Tech is taking a hit, taking a bruise. So yeah, that's an issue. My knee jerk is that's where it's important to fill out the feedback forms and just be honest. Not overly critical, but also not overly kid gloves. This is the reality.
Very important.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was told that you do see some of the surveys or some of the feedback.
Depending on the event,
okay.
See all of them. Well, after how much get done crying.
Right. Okay.
Right. So
you wipe up the tears and blot it out. But how much do you really gain from that?
It depends. The ones that actually write in the comments, mm-hmm. a lot.
Okay.
Right. The ones that are just Scantron it quick, boom, boom, boom.
Yes, you already knew what I thought.
It's great, 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 great. Good, 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 good. Bad, 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 bad.
Right.
Nothing else. Well, I mean, bad, how bad, how? What does bad mean? Good, how? What does good mean?
Right.
I don't know. The ones that take, you know, I'm not saying they got to sit there and just freaking soak the piece of paper with ink, but take a few minutes, a minute or two to just jot down a few comments like, I really liked this part. I wish they could have did this better. I thought
more of this, you know, less of that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm thinking like it gets done right there, the end of the class.
Yes.
And where are most people right there at the end of the class? See ya. They're going lunch, break, whatever, pick your thing that's occupying you. The point is, would it be better? You've already contacted them from this event. Okay. You've given them registration. You've confirmed this, that, and the other thing. Would it be better to email them in a week and say, hey, because right then and there, I'll be honest, I usually have it filled out as I'm sitting at the end when they're talking about what I'm wrapping up. But would it be a better time for that? Do you know what I'm saying? That might get better information.
If you're steaming, yeah, of course, there's probably an argument to just pump the brakes and maybe, you know, wait, process it all. But other than that, I agree. Like, especially with the apps, you can do voice to text, just boom, 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 a couple notes, send it. And then you can always email, you know, whoever's in charge later and just say, hey, you know what? I was thinking about it. I really did like this, or I really did not like this. And maybe not just the class itself, but the event or.
Once they have that connection, you know, you've gotten back and you're giving them back that survey. I probably get 5-6 a month. But if you say, okay, if you have anything further, address it too.
So the event that you went to, when we don't need to name names.
No.
You're going to go back again?
Yeah.
Why? I'm not putting you on the spot. That's not fun. Trying to skewer you or anything or be like, well, if you hated it that much, don't freaking go.
No, it wasn't the event. It was the one bad apple out of a basket. I'm not going to judge everything else. Two, I'm a training junkie. Whether currently my company reimburses me for tuition, not the travel lodging. Guess where I'd be if they didn't? Well, guess where I was before they did? Because I'm one of the people that was responsible for making this a good idea. I said, you know, like Ranger does this and some other big companies. And are you sure? I know somebody. Okay. I wouldn't say I'd still, because I knew the benefit for Bob. And that's the biggest thing you get to waste. It wasn't the money for that class. It was Bob's time.
Right.
Because Bob can't get that back.
The most valuable thing it's any gone. Of us got. Yeah.
Okay. It's all over.
Yeah.
Okay. And look, if it prompted me to be here today, then something positive comes. And I think it already has. Guess what? Then Bob got his investment back. Okay.
Well, I mean, here you get to sit next to Brandon. So
I've known Brandon
talk about
way too long.
So then how did we coax you into sitting next to us?
You can blame Jim Morton for this. This started a long time ago.
Does that have to do with a funnel? Like he just funneled you in?
Yeah.
Right?
Jim Morton funnel. That's it. You know that thing where the balls go around the top and the quarters?
There's like eight steps to the funnel next to Brunton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
But I guess what I got out of that too is, and maybe I'm hyper-focusing as though you went to an event that largely the classes and the event itself were pretty good.
Yeah.
Maybe great, good, somewhere not bad. But one class was so off-putting, it kind of tainted the whole thing.
I wasn't used to it.
Right?
I mean, I've been in classes where I was like, okay. You know what I mean? And I'll bring up Jim's name again. How many times have you taken his class that you know it's the same thing, you still learn something?
Almost every time.
Yeah, like, okay. So I'm
maybe if you pay attention.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, maybe if I realize there may be another trainer in the environment. But that was good. Thank you.
I didn't think
we both deserved
it. I didn't like that comment.
That was equal opportunity. But I'm a junkie. End of conversation. That's it. I know what it benefits me. And he's responsible for dragging me to the first big one. Okay? He's dragging me around, introducing me to all the big names. I'm like ready to genuflect. But we're peers. And when I get somebody in front of the room who doesn't present that way or doesn't have their act together, sorry.
This is where we get into...
I don't want to be the cranky old man in the
room. No.
I want you to understand it. I don't want to say, oh, training bad class. What? No.
We could be going on deadly ground right now.
Okay, go.
But I think this leads itself to it. And something Brandon and I have talked to a couple of times, more than a couple of times, quite a few times, about as instructors, really as educators, we do the work, put together the presentations, study even presenting itself, and studying maybe reading books and maybe engaging and other instructors that are successful, doing all that work that nobody really gets to see to put forth that 3-4 hour, maybe 8 hour class, the reward sometimes isn't there. So now we have Bob, who has a very good point about the quality of training or quality of presentation. And then you have somebody that maybe does take that very seriously and is, we'll just say for the sake of discussion, at least good at it. The reward sometimes isn't necessarily well reflected.
I think that's a fair way of putting it. I'll be the first one to say, I probably speak for every instructor who's truly passionate about teaching. It's the fun part. I do that for free. I would rather get paid for all the time and energy that goes into a class. My first class was literally 12 years of research, hundreds and hundreds of hours. I never intended to write a class when I started. Call it started that journey. It just kind of happened. But I've got captures, I've got sticks, thumb drives that go back to early 2008. Like, good Lord, I can't believe I'm looking back on stuff. I've been saving information that long. And to go and write that class and put it together in a fashion that is at least logical, like hours and hours and hours of time.
Well, I mean, that could be it, right? If you've got, just for BS, for just for discussion, 3 hour presentation, you might have, I don't know, we'll just say 100 slides for a nice round number. That's probably really heavy, but
yeah,
we'll just say for discussion.
Okay.
That 100 slides, you can come up with the slides themselves and the material and all that, but that takes a block of many hours, be it the case studies, collecting it, putting it in the presentation, maybe filling out notes, maybe not, getting the bullet points in there, getting the photos just right. And then you're going through it over and over and over for flow.
Yeah. That's a big part of it.
Right. And then you're sitting there going like, well, okay, so I started out here with voltage drop and boom, 3 slides later, I've got my scope out. There's a big gap here I got to fill.
Yeah. That's like, right, stretch right. it out.
So now you're back either to a car or somehow trying to build this bridge between these two, either case studies or concepts. Next thing you know, we have, I don't know about you, but I can sink hundreds of hours into a presentation pretty fast.
Very easy to do that.
And it's not necessarily, I don't know that that's ever really recognized. And I don't know that the attendees have to recognize that so much, but sometimes the actual expos, or maybe not the expos themselves, but the companies that put them on.
The event coordinator.
Yeah. They don't get to see it.
No.
But I don't know if that gets considered into the compensation packages or what it takes to bring people in. And then if you're a fairly independent, if you don't have a sponsor, the chances of getting in now is drastically reduced.
So if I could speak to 2 points that fall into that, you know, last paragraph you just spit out. First, Yeah, it takes a really long time to put these classes together. And unless you're an instructor with experience, you have no idea how long it takes. I can tell you, and you won't believe me. And if I say 100 hours, it's like, okay, that's like 4 days. I mean, that's a lot of work. And we come up with these fees as instructors, by the way, who are now business owners or subcontractors. And just like the plumber shows up with a fee, you're going to pay the fee or you're not. But the real problem is the people that run these shows, and I don't know at what point that responsibility stops, who's all involved. I just say the people that make the decisions, the group of people that make decisions, decide, is this too much or what? And if it is too much, maybe we don't want that class. Or they, worse, they come at you and say, there's no way we're willing to pay that fee. Here's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And we're going to give you $500 towards travel. Well, for me to travel across the country costs $800. Yep. So thank you. Now I pay $300 to teach and you cut my fee in half. Or worse, they reach out to sponsorship. Well, I got news for you. When somebody sponsors your class, that doesn't mean they pay your fee. That's almost like a warranty company coming in and saying, we're going to pay you $40 an hour at your rate instead of your shop fee, right? Yep. It might look like whining and carrying on, but when you have a business to run and your primary source of income is what you create. Like I said, I love teaching so much. You ask anybody, I help for free all the time on a daily basis. I'm pleased to do that. I'd rather people reach out to me and look for input and instruction because they want to polish their craft. They want to be the best. That's the fun part. I would do that for free. But the preparation to do that takes time and energy and lots of screwing up, lots of breaking things and having to pay for it myself or missing out on evenings with my family because I'm staying to work, staying at work late at night or going in on weekends. That's the stuff that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
Because off soapbox.
You've got a family and I have a family. So a lot of this stuff happens late at night. You work all day, quote unquote, I work.
I don't have a family, guys. It's all right.
Matt goes to his job.
I go to my job, my 8 to 5.
Right.
Or really 9 to 3. Just kidding. Go to my 8 to 5. And you go home and you got responsibilities, right? I got kids, you got meals. And then they have, when they're in school, homework and getting them ready for bed and all that. And then time with the wife. And now it's 10 o'clock. Yeah, I got to do something.
Literally crash.
Right. I have to do something with this class. I got to get somewhere.
Right.
You know, and then your weekends. And it's like you have this finite resource of time that you have to spend taking away from something else to do that. Right. Yeah. And then you're kind of getting... From time to time, you just feel kind of devalued.
I do. And like you said, we're not mentioning names here, but I've heard of people in these decision-making positions go off about me specifically. Who do I think I am asking for what I ask for? And believe me, if I would pay the money to be in that class as an attendee, I have no problem asking for it. And believe me, I wouldn't make the class and market it. If I didn't want to sit in that class, I'm not going to teach it. I want something that's going to make me, that helped me learn. I don't want people to take 28 years of breaking stuff to get where I am. I want them to figure it out in 5 and hopefully not break anything.
I mean, yeah, there's terrific value in a just learning something new, like an entirely new concept or learning about electricity, right? That's invaluable. But then once you've been doing this for a while and is fairly adept with it, he can still go and take an electrical class from Brandon Steckler and fine, the fundamental stuff, it's never changed. But now you do something. Like you just used your meter in a way you never thought about, or a setting on the meter you didn't know existed, or didn't quite know how it worked, or just these little nuggets that you can pull that become extremely valuable. I think they kind of get forgotten about, like, because you're used to when you first started going to classes, you're overwhelmed with all this information just swimming in your head, like, oh my God, I learned so much. And as you progress and you do get better and better, you're only going to pull a little bit here and there. But that little bit is so much more dense in value, just continuously seemingly gets forgotten about. And people may even fill out their feedback forms saying, like, well, you know, it's like every year I learn a little bit less and a little bit less and a little bit less. It's like, hey, that's how it's supposed to work.
You did say learn.
Yeah.
That was the word, learn. So you didn't know.
There's a problem if you came back year after year and you just kept learning so much.
Like, I still know it all.
You may have a retention issue.
15 years ago when you had hair, remember that? I do remember that because you and I used to go to class together.
Yeah. We would have got showed up early, helped them unpack.
Yeah.
We would have got two guys that stayed late. We gained a lot.
Yeah. At a big rate, too. We was always taking home tons, but now it's not so much. And that's the way it's supposed to be if you're paying attention and implementing what you learn.
Yeah. Has any of the companies, I guess I want to say like either the show coordinators or the expos themselves ever come back to you and said, we want you back next year because your ratings are so good, or vice versa, like you submit classes. And
your survey was so good.
Yeah.
So I have never been contacted like that. No one's ever said, surveys were great, come back. I look at it like this. If it wasn't and I submitted classes, they just won't pick them.
I had that happen once, but I was also co-teaching with Harvey Chan. So I think it was really about him. And I was just along for the ride.
Sitting on the coattails?
Oh, riding kidding. Those coattails like you wouldn't believe.
Miss Harf, man.
Another one.
He made it easy. Guy not he had big coattails.
I'm just kidding.
The guy not in the room. I get it.
Yeah.
No one's ever reached out to me, per se. Plenty of attendees have. And I really appreciate that because it feels good when you know you're making an impact. It's not that they're blowing smoke up your tail. They come up to you truly grateful. You know what I mean? And that's my gauge on what's good. Not how many people were in the seat, but the ones that were in the seat, did they get anything out of it? And I've had classes with 5 people in it. And I've had classes with 300 people in it. And sometimes things go the way you want it. Sometimes it doesn't. You got to make the best of it. But as long as I do the best I can, that's what I care about.
Yeah. So now we kind of bring this back around to Bob's point. Not everybody's going to work for a big training entity. They can't, and arguably nor should everybody. What's the path? Like, I'm a little biased because I have Tech Talks at Vision, and now I have Techs Informing Techs here at ASTA 2025 in Raleigh, North Carolina. Cheap pop.
Yeah, cheap pop.
It flowed.
Cheap pop.
It's a good thing.
It flowed.
It'll be great this year. Don't worry.
But I mean, that's kind of supposed to be the entryway for, you know, I work in a shop. I've been to classes. I got some ideas. I think I have a cool case study, or I have an idea how I think something works. I feel like I have something of value to share, but I don't think I have 3 hours worth, nor do I want the pressure of that. Here's the gateway. Here's an introductory way that I have a block of time, which somebody here at the table is going to be in techs, informing techs.
Love it.
And he's sitting to Brandon's left.
Yes.
This is your left.
You know what I love about the idea behind that is it's almost like, if I could use an analogy, like bumper bowling. You can't mess up. And even if you flop, the people that are watching are there to cheer you up. And it's like, hey, listen, it's okay. Yep. Just take a breath. Let's figure this out.
Exactly.
And it's a safe place to
do. Yeah, it's very safe. And also, you only have 45 or an hour or less or a little bit more. It works out, right? You're not carrying the whole class, right? And you kind of get that taste of it and then go like, I think I could do that. I think I like this. I think I could do this.
You're saying 185 slides would then be a little long?
For 45 minutes? I don't know. You'll probably run out of material.
Hey, you can do that in 2 slides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can.
I can do that. I can name that subject.
I seem to remember doing a 3-hour class with 15 slides once.
Now you know what you're doing.
I don't know if that was the case, but
it flew.
It flew. It did. Yeah. But I guess where I'm heading with that is once they kind of get through that and they get that taste for it and they're like, I like this. I think I could do this. I think I could. Few more case studies, a little more filler material. And I don't mean like wasteful, just fluff. I mean, just material.
Make it a
teaching. I think I can do this for 3 hours and I start submitting classes. How do we address that? How do we get from the point of doing that to what Bob's talking about of how did I get to the position of being a presenter? And am I just going for broke, doing my best, waiting for the reviews to come back and then trying to adjust from there? Or if the enough reviews keep coming back, you're kind of out.
And I didn't even think about this until you started talking. Do you have some kind of mentor? Somebody who, rocks this, polishes mine, his.
Mine's Brandon. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Everybody's.
Okay. All right.
Trying not to say that. Right. Okay. Yeah. But the idea is, No, yours is John Thornton. You can stop right now. Okay. Let's not. I listen to the podcast. That's not even. I don't know what the.
That's like saying my mentor is Michael Jordan. Like,
you know, yeah.
I pattern myself after his game. But, I can't jump off the ground.
You know, somebody who's been doing it, does it all the time. Someone who just polishes that class for a specific event or group. And you work with them, which, by the way, I just dawned on me that happened.
John Thornton?
No.
Okay, I was going to say.
Jim.
Do tell.
He took you to a... Didn't he take you south?
Yeah.
Like Tijuana?
You know what? That's. Just,
I didn't hear this story. This could get good.
You know what?
That's because you don't stay late enough at the bar. That's the problem.
I can hear my ratings going up.
It's a great point. So if that was a question towards me and
no, and I just dawned on me. I remember the event.
Well, no, I meant what Matt just asked about how do we get to that point from a practice session like that where it's okay and you do this in a safe spot to how do I ramp this up to a 3-hour class where I can submit it and actually be chosen? My path is kind of unique. I was lucky enough to be under Jim Morton's wing. He was like an uncle to me. I was fortunate enough to sit and hear the same class over and over. Like I'd be almost like in a cheerlead, like a groupie following him around. And before you know it, like you're at a Slipknot concert, you start to learn the words. You know what I mean? You go too many.
Nobody understands the words.
Yeah. And then you can't hear anything.
I mean, well, I guess the clean parts.
It makes it easier.
The harsh vocals?
No. Do you really sing? You don't sing their songs. You just kind
of scream in a general way.
You're busy hitting something or something.
But Jim Morton, he and I co-taught in 2015 for Bryn Klein, actually, in
the Melbourne. Bryn Klein, yeah. The one and only? Bryn, the one and
Lord
only.
Lord of the Swamp and the Gators. Yes.
That is Bryn he going to be here?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Going home.
He's too cool. No, he's got a lot going on. You know, he's a shop owner. He's got a lot going on.
Luckily, Morgan's here.
Lucky?
Justin Morgan.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't know what you meant by lucky. I can say that now. He already helped me out. I don't need his help anymore. So
yeah, there you go.
I
got what I want.
Always collect first.
Jim took me down to Florida with him, and he and I did something we called the Diagnostic Smorgasbord, and it was pretty much just to get up there and spit. You know what I mean? We kind of did a collaborative, send me your stuff, and I'll put together a PowerPoint, which is terrible. You know, you learn as you go how to polish things up, but it was a great experience. It was a lot of fun. Relatively small group, I'd say, if I remember correctly, probably 15 to 20. But one of the harshest critics in the industry, Matt Skundrick.
I've heard of him.
Oh, yeah. He was praising accolades. I'm like, wow, this is great.
Well, then, yeah.
So how bad could that be?
But yeah, this took place at a local bar.
Oh.
And it was like about 6 o'clock. They'd been there at noon.
So he's trashed.
Everybody was kind of like,
okay,
tough time on the bar stool.
No, but I realized that that's a very unique situation and not everyone.
But that's the idea I was saying. Like, yeah, so what if we could kind of
nurture?
Right? Pair somebody. It doesn't have to be every time. But, I mean, how many times are we going to have tech talks?
We have to have and the trainers, big brothers, well, big sisters club.
I'd be willing to put this out there. Anybody that's willing to try, get up and try, I'd be willing to help. So, don't know if that means anything. Somebody gets up.
Why don't you just give out your phone number?
I got that, too. I'll do it.
It's funny. There's a mobile guy in Jersey. I wish I remember his name. He has a yellow.
John Anello.
He will, I think it's like for $100, you come for the day. Or two, or whatever. He's been doing that for years.
He took me along for a ride. He left me at a few shops. He's like, wait, don't get in the car. We're late.
Right?
I'm serious.
Were you wearing your crash suit?
I should have had it.
Yeah, right?
He got pulled over by a cop. He was talking in a third person. Yeah, let the tech man through. We got to go.
I would have been dying.
I was dying. I was in the front seat going, I had my cell phone going, like recording it.
How does he steer while he's driving with his legs? He's on the phone and then.
He's got one phone. He's got another Palm Pilot on the dash. Probably not anymore. He's got the vehicle's GPS going. He had another device going all at the same time, like two different GPS systems and a Palm Pilot and a cell phone. Everybody gets a different color ball. Like a black ball means I'm not calling you back. Red ball means like, crap, I should have been there on Wednesday, but I'm running late. So, you know, then there's a purple ball and a yellow ball. And he had his whole system figured out, but it was crazy. And man, he's in and out in like 10 minutes.
So that guy needs autopilot.
He's nuts.
Autopilot and a water bottle. We got to hook that guy up.
The guy's built like a brick shit house by my French at age 40, right, Tracy?
He's 60.
Mid-60s. The dude's like, I'm going to go.
He says old people are smoking
hot. He was on this podcast with somebody. I have to think about it. Not me.
There's old
I'm not alluding to me, but he's talking about clean living.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's eating on the berries and nuts and stuff. Yeah.
I don't know the number. I know it was carbs. I just don't know the number.
I partied pretty hard with him.
Yeah,
we're talking about clean living. You can't talk about partying.
He likes his red wine.
Red wine. Okay, there's.
He likes his red wine.
There's like phenols in that, not to be confused with fentanyl. So.
So we're here at this. Matt, you sat on these boards before. Like, how do these classes get picked?
I mean, it's who sends the most money.
I figured out. Yeah, that sounds about
so
right.
So I usually send a private message about, hey, you're up. What do you think? Send me a check.
Silent bid.
I honestly, I had a concern. Remember that fellow I was telling you about that came up to me with his tail between his legs after the first experience at one of those big shows? I thought to myself, like, how did a class like that get chosen? Are they vetted? Like, is the instructor themselves vetted? Or is it just simply the material?
Sometimes there's a situation where it's you don't necessarily know who the instructor is going to be. You just know that it's going to be X company is going to present this class. And they don't tell you who's presenting it. And then in other cases, it might be somebody you don't know. Where I'm probably not saying I have so much say that if I say somebody should get a chance to present, they get a chance to present. That would never imply that that doesn't happen. But I do have a weak spot for people you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Right? Because in my mind, it's like, where is the next Thornton coming from? Where is the next Manna coming from? I'm not saying there's going to be anybody that hits those levels, but we need somebody to come in and
they
try.
They are the first day, right?
Where do they come from?
I love it.
And so that's the way my mind works. I've never heard of this person before. Or I know they're just getting started, so let's get them out there.
So I wanted to say a fear I've had, and I have very little criteria to put together.
You're blacklisted, but... that wasn't the question.
There. No. So I have this fear of these complaints. Again, I'm not naming names or instructors or companies, but there was one common denominator, and every one of these happened to be sponsored classes. And then I thought to myself, believe me, I understand the value of sponsorship. How else do these shows get paid for? I totally get it. Yeah. But what's the trade-off? What if we don't go with a John Thornton class because it costs some money and we instead get XYZ company in here and they're going to send John the lead so-and-so, and I'm fine with that. But what if we took the time to vet this guy? Maybe first time presenter at so-and-so show, how about you put on a little song and dance, send us 10 or 15 slides and you have to present to us, even in a Zoom atmosphere, just something.
And I know I'd like... dance it in my seat to interject or add, because that's really rude on my part, actually.
Because you can't dance.
That too. I can't sing. I can't dance. I can listen to music like nobody's business. A mutual friend of ours, Bob might, I don't know how well you know him, but a mutual friend of Brandon's and mine, I won't name his name. His first initial is T, ran into a situation where he is submitting classes and he wasn't getting picked because he doesn't have a sponsor. The entity that he was submitting to was trying to put it on him to go find his own sponsorship.
That's bull.
Right. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I don't know why they went and tried to find him sponsors.
Exactly. And with that, I'll tell you, I've been told that same thing. Believe me, I know companies that are willing to sponsor me no matter what, but I was upset by that when I was told that. I said, I'm not going to find sponsorship. This is ridiculous. Like, if you want someone to sponsor me, you're the one that's going to benefit. You go ahead and find.
Especially when you have people telling you, like, he's the goods. He's going to get out there and knock this thing out of the ballpark, which
I've watched
now he
it.
Has.
He's phenomenal. He's international now.
Right. He has. They're being told he's good. Get him in there any means necessary. Either find him the sponsor or just write the check yourself. Is it that much? Like, is it?
I know what he
will
charges.
Will it hurt that much?
No. I know what he charged, and I told him he's charging way too little.
Yeah.
He's got little faith in himself because he's new. But yeah.
And I know he's not alone. He's not the only one.
No.
But
he's definitely not.
Nate, you brought up an interesting point. Well, no, Brandon did. About
Because I would never.
I clearly.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
I'm like, wait a minute. Couldn't be, Matt. No way. You stop. The idea of a Facebook or some kind of like a little audition, you know, to send that in. Well, my wife's an educator. I think about 12 years ago, she wanted to become nationally board certified. At that time, when she got it, it was like less than 15% of the country. Okay. It was like incredibly small group. And it's a huge amount of money she gets from the school district for having and mentoring people. Now, how, they're going to do it. I was dating her at that time. I knew when what nights I could call and at what hours. Because otherwise, she was prepping and videotaping and repeatedly videotaping and doing it over. Because she had to turn this You don't go there. You have to turn that in. And then you have to turn in teaching classes. But it's just something small. You know what I mean? Like that.
What do you mean? For vetting?
Yeah. Like, go get up in front. It doesn't matter if it's classroom or what.
I just meant, like, if, let's pretend it's XYZ show and they've got this. In my mind, I'm picturing this panel, this group of a handful, 10, 12, 15 industry people, shop owners, other instructors, people like Matt, who've been to training, who've been around top-notch diagnosticians that actually hold some water with what they say. What if they got on a Zoom call in a situation like this and just, look, we need you to talk for 15 minutes. We're going to have some questions for you based on the material you submitted. Let's see how you handle these questions. And that guy who was leading the class that my friend came back with his tail between his legs would have been jammed up. And I don't look, and thanks for the submission. You need to go back and practice. We want you to submit next year. This year's not for you. Next. What's wrong with that? Let him be sponsored. That's fine. But if it's a XYZ company, don't send John, send Joe. Let's see Joe teach the same material. And I just think we have a responsibility as an organization,
industry,
just like I have a responsibility as an instructor. I think the show should have a responsibility in vetting who they...
Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't sit there and talk and contradict yourself, I guess, more so than have it both ways. It's, you can't contradict yourself with training is so important. Train, train, train. You got whatever leaders you want to name of this profession going, go to training, get to training, get to ASTA, get to what all the other events or whatever events you can, see this instructor, see that instructor, and then shortchange it on the other end, on the delivery. That doesn't make any sense, and that's kind of what's going on, or starting to go down that path, at least.
I agree. I'm noticing it. Other attendees are noticing it. And on that note, we keep hearing all these stats every year. This is the biggest first-time attendee list ever. Well, what about the people who are not coming back? The ones that were here for the first time last year and have gone. It's not like we've went from 5,000 to 8,000 to 10,000. We went from 5,000. We got another 1,000 more, but now we're at 4,090.
If you keep having the most new people, and that number never changed.
Yeah, it's a changing of the guard. Something's happening, and I don't like it. I don't know what it is. I don't know who or if there's a person or a group or a team at fault, but I feel like we're putting revenue and profit above quality. I'm not the only one that feels that way. And it's not sour grapes because I am coming back to these shows. It's not like I'm getting kicked off.
And I suspect, I don't want to sound like I'm the defender of these entities.
Sure.
But I think for them, the cost of putting these events on is going way up. Oh, it has been.
Sure.
And they're trying desperately to keep the cost to the attendee the same or increasing at a, what, you know, quote unquote, reasonable rate. That they don't want that jumped up. So the reliance on sponsors is getting heavier and heavier and heavier. And you got the big companies that they have the money to sign those checks, but then they have a lot of pull on what does that event look like? What does that class list look like?
Yep. We've gotten away from let's focus on class quality to class quantity. That's hard for me to say. You know, stop growing wide. Maybe we need to cap it at several thousand attendees instead of five and keep looking for more. You know, maybe not have 300 classes. Maybe have 150 good ones, great ones, where the instructors are vetted, where the material's vetted, and it's stuff we need. We don't need to be sold another AC compressor or another air conditioning machine or another specific scan tool. You know what I mean? That's just...
I mean, if the scan tool is really cool, I want to be sold it.
But, absolutely. Okay.
Especially if you can get like the games on there.
Yeah, show me.
Yeah. That would talk. I mean... I remember a recent big event, and I happened to be overhearing the person who's one of the big people running it talking about the cost of soda.
$8 a can?
I think it was north of that. And I went like, my head was doing Linda Blair. I'm like, what? That's a case of soda. Who are you kidding me? And no. So I get it. It's not extortion. It's the politest form of it. Okay. Right. Because you don't get a choice. You want to have a whole bunch of people in one place. This is how we're the game in town. We're the ones that have been doing it. We're willing to do this. Got to give somewhere.
Make it good. That's all I'm saying is make it good.
The vetting is important. Let me know when you're ready for the end. I got one of them.
I'm ready for the end, man. Okay. Bring on the end. This is the end.
Was Bob going to stop talking?
No, never. No,
I'm kidding.
We all know that. I think not only do we need to check these people in the front of the room, we need to speak to the new guys coming about
attendees?
The attendees, and prep them the best way to attend. The easy ones are, look, The lobby's a great place, but you got it. No, you're cut off.
Oh, I know where you're going with
this. I know where to lie to these guys. It's the first time away from home. No joke. Okay.
I mean, the guy that was laying face down in the that hallway, the I'm assuming guy. That was his room door, and he was so close.
Rumspringa.
He was so close. Check his
room number. Yeah, that's you.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the rest, bring what you need to take notes. Bring what you... Yeah, there's a great story about that. Bring a highlighter. Bring something to write on. Take notes. Right? You get.
I did a highlighter on my tablet, and it just...
Had trouble
trying to wipe it off.
When you got home?
Then everything was highlighted.
Yes.
Shake hands.
You know, if a class has a book, write in it. It's yours now. Right? I write notes, and then the other thing I do is the next week or the week after, I go through it again. What did I write? Oh, right. This was important. You know, second thought, that really wasn't that. I just wanted to double check. These guys are staring here deer in the headlights the first night, and they don't know what's coming.
Yeah, or they're trying to jot down everything, and then you're focused on what you're writing instead of what's being presented, and you're missing stuff.
Oh, and if you're in Gary Smith's class, you just missed the third of the class.
Yeah.
He's at warp drive.
Well, he could have been talking about, you know, ham radio.
Yeah, everything in between.
I'm just kidding.
No,
he thinks his class is going out on the radio, so. But if you blink with him, you're not.
Yeah.
But they don't know how to prepare for this kind of training and education. It's coming crazy. I remember the 1 year at an event, I posted, I said, if you don't know how to meet new people, I put my picture. Trust me, you can't miss me. I will be at the bar. Come and shake my hand. I will even let you buy me a beer. Like, introduce yourself and say hi. Start with me. I don't bite. And if I do, I've had my shots. So it's not a big deal.
What's the next big event coming up? Apex?
I guess.
Are you going? Yeah.
I've never gone, believe it or not.
It's in Vegas. It's dangerous.
That's probably not. I could go there and stay for free. I have really good friends live right outside. So,
well, if you're in Apex, Brandon will probably be there.
I will. I'll be in there with.
I'm thinking about being there.
When is that?
I don't know. November or something.
Mid November.
1st, 2nd, 3rd.
14th, 4th. Yeah.
November 4th through the 7th.
Yeah. Come stay in my room, Bob.
Maybe.
He stays at the Ritz.
I could stay at a friend's house right outside the Shrep. They live right outside the city.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They live right outside. Yeah,
I just don't have
no problem.
You don't hear that from most residents. They don't like that.
Yeah, well, they build me entirely too low. So that's a different story since high school. So,
but if that happens, we should do a part two and talk about like conference prep.
Yeah,
and if we can't do it at Apex, then I'm thinking the next one after that's Vision.
How hard would that even be to put on the website where you register?
And that was something that I always thought about. Like, look. There's a bunch of podcasts out there. There's a bunch of other ways that we get information, right? Got, you know, starting a couple months before. If you've never been to this event you're about to fly to.
Training etiquette.
Yeah. And yeah, guys, whatever your liquor limit is, cut back by 3. Just get it through your head. There's a company I know and the vice president at a very large event.
That last minor racer stuck up on me.
Entirely too much and got into a public argument with the vendor. And that vice president was never seen again. And he'd been with the company longer, probably 20 years. In that event, goodbye. His dad was one of the founders of the industry. So go, bye-bye. That's all it took. So don't do it. It's not. Yeah, we all sit and have beers and whatever. I get it. But these guys, it's funny. You look around, you've seen the look. They're like, wow, what do I do? And the two or three of them stay together. You know, they're like these scared little rabbits over here. You know,
I'm going to have t-shirts made that say, come say hello on my back.
Okay. I'm in.
I'm going to do it.
I'm in.
I wore a sweatshirt to Fremont Street on Halloween that said, have you hugged a mechanic?
Good Lord.
Yeah, don't do that.
No. I was going to say wrong place.
I was going to say, yeah, like, what was thrown?
Gorillas and werewolves. And
no, got to get it in the SKU thing. The SKU thing, they come up and they run their phone, the scan tag.
QR code thing?
Yeah, QR, right.
Only fans love.
They're right.
I love that.
Exactly.
That was spot on.
It's going to gain traction. I know it.
I'm still waiting for mine to be delivered. So, you know, you got to talk.
I know.
You got to talk to the company that's making them.
Right.
There's a production problem.
Well, I really, really appreciate you guys joining me for this.
My pleasure.
It's a good topic.
Even if he's here.
Like I said, I had nothing else to do. So, no. I'm just, thank you, buddy.
Shouldn't she be developing a class or something?
Like, you're rudely interrupted. No, it was great being here. Thank you. I think it's an important topic.
Very
important topic. If there's anything I can do to help steer things back on track, because I do think we're off track. I'm all for it. I want to help.
I think the way you said it was, it's not at the bottom of the hill right now, but it crested.
Right.
And we all know the snowball.
We're teetering.
Once it's crested, it's only going to get worse if somebody doesn't deal with it.
We're getting too big for our bridges.
Yeah. Some of the things are, and they just need to be a little bit guidance.
Thanks again, guys. Thank you all for listening. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Napa Auto Tech Training and Pico Technology. Thank you to the Aftermarket Radio Network, especially when they're sitting right next to you.
Yeah,
pressure.
That really...
I mean, I'm like an Oreo here, just a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and the behavior was really good.
Okay? I know, I was trying hard.
I think we all behaved ourselves.
Focused. Trying to stay focused on like maturity. I have to look up that word.
What do you know about that?
You've heard people yell it all your life, and maybe you ought to figure out what it is. Yeah, maturity to you too, pal.
Oh, man. Yeah. So until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.